in the, I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 12. I think I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit about spiritual gifts. I was reading these scriptures earlier this week, and something really stood out to me. And then today, Brother Kendrick and I were meeting on some business stuff. He manages the Homeowners Association, his condo, and so he'd asked me to help him with some electrical lighting stuff. And so we grabbed some lunch, and our meeting was about electrical, but then it quickly turned, as we sat down at the table, towards spiritual things. Imagine that. And these scriptures came back to me as we began to talk, and I can't get rid of them. I can't get away from this idea. There was a term, we don't hear it a lot today, maybe a little bit, but there was a term when I was growing up as a young man. The term was, and I quote, called to preach. Anybody ever heard that term? That's an older term. We're called to preach. And it was primarily used, the intention of it was a young man or a young woman would, primarily young men in the 80s and 90s, and now more young women, would step forward and say, I believe I've received a call to preach. There's a call to preach upon my life. And really what they were saying was, is that they were responding to something that they felt in their spirit, the drawing of the Holy Ghost, and they were that probably meant that they were going to stand in a pulpit and have a microphone, and they were going to talk. They were going to preach. And, you know, preaching looks different to everybody, every situation. Some people think preaching is expository, expounding. To some people, preaching is telling good stories, having good analogies. You know, there's some people who are professional preachers. You know, I went to Bible school. I sat through preaching classes. And we talked about preachers, you know, our favorite preachers. And there was one day, this was amazing to me, there was one day that a preacher, a very well-known preacher's name came up. If I said his name in this room, almost everybody would know who I'm talking about. And somebody said, man, he's got a mind like a steel trap. He can preach like nobody's business. You know what? He's so good at preaching that he doesn't even have to be anointed. He's just a good preacher. If the anointing wasn't even on him, he would still be an incredible preacher. And I remember as a young 18-year-old boy sitting in that class thinking, 18-year-old boy, 18-year-old young man, whatever you consider an 18-year-old. And thinking, am I really hearing this? Is this reality? And of course, that class was on how to preach, how to put a message together, a sermon together, and how to prepare it. And it was interesting that there were a lot of young men who came through that class over the years. That college is still in existence. There's many other colleges. And many young men would come through those classes not having any idea how to preach. And the purpose of the class was to teach them how to preach. When I think about that today, I wonder, when you read in the Gospels, there's a few times, I think the word preach is mentioned some 60 times, 60, 65 times in the Word of God. And in the New Testament, it's translated pretty much the same thing each time. But when you start looking at the people who preached, you gotta ask yourself, who taught John the Baptist how to preach? The Scripture says that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Right? That was his sermon. Did he prepare that? Did he have a list of prepared sermons when he went to the wilderness to begin to preach? He was one of the first ones that the Bible declares preached. And so when we hear the word, you know, every as growing up, again, I'm just being real tonight, okay? We're going somewhere with this. You know, every young boy who grows up, I'm going to grow up to be a preacher. Some people promote that among their sons. Son, you grow up and be a preacher. Well, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right now. I'm going to ruin the whole night. Everybody's a preacher. You ought to be preaching everywhere you go. Because a scriptural definition of preaching is to proclaim. It's to proclaim the good news. If you follow me here for a second. Well, I'm going to take you to the Strong's before we get too far away here, just so that we're all on the same page. This is Strong's word in the New Testament. This is Strong's word G2783. I won't try to pronounce the transliteration or the pronunciation. Here are the outline of definitions in the biblical usage of it. Okay, one is to be a herald, to officiate as a herald, to proclaim after the manner of a herald, to publish, to proclaim openly something which has been done. Jeremiah came up here tonight and he preached openly about something that God had done for him, right? Oh, no, we called that a testimony. Right? I did. I called it a testimony, right? He testified, but he proclaimed openly about something that God had done for him. He preached. Brother Chamberlain, when you tell people of the healing that God has wrought in your body, you're preaching. You're declaring. I was sick in my body. I had issues with the rhythm in my heart, and God touched me and healed me. You're not even the same guy you were a couple months ago. God has done a great work in your life, and when you proclaim that, you're preaching. You're a preacher. It keeps going. Used of the public proclamation of the gospel and matters pertaining to it. These things were made by John the Baptist, made by Jesus, by the apostles and other Christian teachers. So, we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 12. Just, I haven't forgot. So, is that, this foundation, are you following me here? I've heard oftentimes people say, you know, I'm not a preacher. Not really sure. I feel a draw to ministry. I feel a draw to participation in the kingdom, but I'm not a preacher. Well, why would somebody say that? Other than those are the classifications that we use in Christianity today, especially in the Apostolic Church, to define ministry. Well, you're either a preacher, or you're a saint, or you're a worship leader, or you're a musician, or you're a praise singer, those are a Sunday school teacher, or a youth minister. Those are our classifications, right? And well, I can't sing, so I'm out of music ministry. I definitely can't preach. I'm terrified to stand up and say something in front of anybody, let alone a group of 50 or 60 people. So I'm out with a preacher. I'm not good with kids, so I can't teach Sunday school. And we go down the list and we disqualify ourselves. Because we've misrepresented what it is that God wants to use people for in the earth today. When I say we, I'm talking about Christianity today, not you and I. Christianity, we've misrepresented. I ought to be preaching everywhere that I go. I ought to be proclaiming the goodness of God and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere that I go. When I'm at work and something goes well and I say, oh, thank God, in front of a group of people, I just preached. I just declared the goodness of God. When something's going wrong with somebody and they ask me for prayer and I say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. God's going to touch you. He has the ability to make a difference in your life and to heal you, heal your body. He just preached. Scotty, when you were ministering to your friend whose nephew was sick there at the Nissan Auto dealer, you were preaching. You declared to him the goodness of God and God's ability to heal. That was preaching. Did you know you were preaching in the shop at Nissan? But that's in our minds. We call that maybe witnessing. But then, you know, going back to witnessing, you know, back in the day, you had to be one of them holy roller crazy people to be a witnesser, right? You know, there was my dad who was rolling up tracks in the toilet paper roll at work, throwing their dirty magazines away and putting Bibles on the desk. That was the witnesser, you know, preaching to people while he was running the green chain and running the barker and. They called him the soul patrol, and he was a witnesser. Really, he was a preacher. He was proclaiming. Everywhere he went, he proclaimed the goodness of God. But somehow, through the years, we've whittled that down to, unless you're holding the mic standing behind the pulpit, well, that's a preacher, and you got to be called to be a preacher. Let's go to the scripture here. I'm digging myself a big old hole here that I don't know we can get out of, so we better get scriptures so we can figure this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, guys, we can throw it up there because I don't mind doing it in the KJV tonight. By the way, we're all on the same page. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Everybody say spiritual gifts. Say it again, spiritual gifts. This is, I think, one of the biggest disconnects in the apostolic church today. I think there's two main disconnects. One is we misunderstand, we misrepresent the difference between offices and giftings. The scripture explicitly states that there, I believe, is it two or three offices, one office. If a man desire the office of a bishop, one office. That's the only office I know of in Scripture. That's the Scripture. A deacon, it's in Titus, I think. We can go look it up. If it's the office of a bishop or a deacon, he desires a good thing. Those are the offices that the Bible talks about. Outside of that, he refers to them as giftings. So I believe one of the disconnects today in the apostolic church is and these aren't semantics, okay? These aren't synonymous terms. We like to use them as synonymous terms. Gifting, calling, you know, called to preach, gifted to preach, whatever. Those aren't synonymous terms. There is a calling of God upon each of our lives to participate in the kingdom of God. Every single person, every single young person, if you've been born into the kingdom of God, if you've been born into the church, you see, I didn't get a choice in this. I was born into this. I was born into the kingdom of God. I went to church not long after I was born. My parents had already been baptized in Jesus' name and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was born. So I didn't get a choice. I didn't come out of my mother's womb and say, I ain't going to an apostolic church. I may have acted that way when I was at church with my crying and fit throwing, but I didn't get a choice in this. I was born. And so the calling of God rested upon my life, Brother Thomas, from a very young age. My children haven't got a choice in this. They were born into this. They know no other life other than this. This is what they grow up. They play church at home. They don't play drinking games at home. They play church. They weren't born into a drinking family. They were born into a church family. They were born into the kingdom of God. They were dedicated to the kingdom of God. Their third or fourth Sunday, they were here and on this earth. They don't get a choice in this. The calling of God rests upon their life because of their position in life. Not because they were born into a minister's home, because they were born on the earth. And the calling of God is upon all of those who participate in the kingdom to have involvement in the kingdom. Now, I'm watching the Lord gift my children spiritual giftings. but they're 7-3. The giftings of God are already in operation in their lives. They don't even realize it yet, Sister Chamberlain. They don't even know that. They don't know why. Kathy doesn't know why she, I can talk about her now because she's not here. She doesn't know why she gets a microphone and goes around the house leading her brother in worship. She doesn't understand that. That's the gifting. Parker doesn't know why he gets a microphone and wants to lead worship and gets his low, deep vibrato voice going. He's just participating in the kingdom. But I see the giftings of God, spiritual gifts, already in operation in their lives. And I believe that those giftings are going to continue to develop as they give themselves to the kingdom of God, as they continue to surrender their lives to God. You know how many backslidden apostolic young people there are out there in the world today with incredible giftings? The only difference between them and people like yourselves and I who have given our lives to the kingdom and stayed committed to the kingdom of God is that as we commit ourselves to God, the giftings of God continue to develop in us by the Holy Ghost. I can't do anything to develop giftings. I can't practice my gifting. I can't hone my gifting skills. The Holy Ghost does that. It is a work of the Spirit as I dedicate myself to the operation of the gifts of God in me. Some of you are looking at me like, you've lost your mind. Paul told Timothy, in 1 Timothy, he said, listen, there were gifts imparted to you, Timothy. We talked about this a few Sundays ago. He said, I laid hands on you, and there were giftings imparted to you by the Holy Ghost. In the second letter that he writes, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, listen, I remember the faith, unfeigned faith that was in your mother, your grandmother Lois, and in your mother, and it's in you also. And I'm calling you to remembrance that you stir up the gift of God that is resident in you. He didn't say, you need to start practicing your preaching skills, Timothy. Timothy, you need to start practicing, you need to get some voice lessons. And you need to start singing. I really need you to start practicing the piano and 3 hours a day at least, Timothy. No. He said, we laid hands on you. The Holy Ghost imparted gifts. And you need to pray and stir those gifts up within you. Let them be an operation in your life. That's the people say, I'm called. I've got a call of God on my life. A call to what? What's your calling? I hear other people say, I feel like God's gifted me in this aspect of ministry. All right, then start participating in it. Get involved in it. Man, I feel like I've got a gifting towards children. I feel like I got a gifting towards special needs children. Get involved with it. Find a way to participate in the kingdom, in the gifting, operating in the gifting that he's imparted to you by the Holy Ghost. And so he starts chapter 12 off by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of these spiritual gifts, brother. Verse 2. You know that we were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a two-hour Bible study in verse 4. I think we're going to move on. Verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which works it all. Okay, we can't move on. I got to stop here for a second. I believe that God gives different individuals the same gifting. All right? I've watched people who operate in a gift of faith. And I've witnessed some men operate in the gift of faith, and you're like, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Anybody here, is the name Freddie Clark mean anything to you? Anybody here remember Freddie Clark? You? A man incredibly used of God, incredibly gifted. He operates in the gift of faith everywhere he goes. And he came through my church when I was a young boy, probably 8 to 12 years old, somewhere in that range. So this has been between 88 and 92. And he would have services, and he would preach, and then he would have prayer lines. And God did incredible miracles through his ministry that week. There was a young boy who showed up with a broken leg, and God miraculously healed it. They cut the cast off the next day, x-rayed it, and it was completely healed. There was another man who had throat cancer the next night, and God miraculously healed him of throat cancer. He went back to the doctor the next day, and it was gone. The way he operated in his gifting, Paul called it the diversity of operations, was crazy. It was different. The man he prayed for that night with throat cancer, he literally told him to open his mouth, and he reached in with his fingers, and he pulled and began to pull on something. He was operating in his gifting. God healed the man. But I remember as a young boy sitting there thinking, what, this guy? What in the world is going on? There's other men that I've witnessed similar types of ministries. A man by the name of Morton Bustard. Some of you may have heard of Brother Bustard. He doesn't operate that way. Operates in the same gift of faith. But I've not seen him do that kind of stuff before. He'll lay hands on people. He'll speak to people. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith. He operates in it. But he doesn't pull things out of people. But there's a similar spirit. When the gifting is in operation, there's a witness in my spirit that, okay, the Spirit of God is in operation through these men. I've been around other people who declared a word of prophecy to a group of people. And my spirit said, that is not prophecy, that is flesh. Only to go into a meeting a little while later and someone else declare a word of prophecy and there be a witness in my spirit in the room among all that were in attendance. That was a word from God. See the difference? We can all have a diversity of operation of gifts. I don't teach like Bishop teaches. I don't teach like Brother Berglund teaches. Brother Heiner doesn't teach like any of us teach. Brother Kendrick doesn't teach like. We all have different. Different operations of the same gifting. We're all gifted teachers. But we operate differently in our giftings. But it's the same spirit that we operate in ministry. All right, that was a 2-hour Bible study condensed into 5 minutes. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Okay, this is the first gifting that he references. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Second one. Third one. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Is that 9? Did I count that right? Sorry, I got a finger hidden on the microphone here. I don't want to drop it, but the Kendrick will kill me. I think it's 9. All these worketh that one in the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, did anybody miss, did I miss in this anywhere the gifting of preaching? No, it wasn't in there, was it? We counted 9, it wasn't in there. Paul must have made a mistake. Let's keep going. Verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. Now, this is the office's first giftings. Okay? We're still in chapter 12. He just finished talking about giftings. The giftings that are in operation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of healing. He says, now God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Poor brother Paul, he left preachers out again. Jump with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:11. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. I'm just verse 11, I'm going to read to you in the New Living Translation. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. In the KJV, can you go back up? Keep going back up. Keep going. You can stop there. There's one body, one spirit, who's your calling, one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now he starts to reference this gifting. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended is, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Those two verses right there are in parentheses. It's important to realize that because he's not switching subjects. He's talking about giftings. He doesn't switch from talking about giftings to talking about something else in verse 11 when he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. This is the same Paul, the same writer from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 who is explicitly discussing giftings. There's a common thread wound throughout all of his writings to the churches throughout the New Testament. And that thread is that the giftings of God, giftings given of God by the Spirit to men were for operation in the body of Christ. Go to verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. He didn't say sinners. He said, for the perfecting of the saints. This is written to the church. He gifts men in the body of Christ to minister to the body of Christ. Preaching is to the lost. That's why it's up to everybody. That's why everybody has to be a preacher. That's why everybody has to proclaim openly the goodness of God. It's for the lost. That's why preaching was tied to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. That's why everybody has to be doing it. Rhetorical question here. You don't have to answer this. If we gather together every Sunday and Wednesday, and I preached to you, and Bishop preached to you, and Brother Berglund preached to you, and Brother Heiner preached to you, and Brother Kendrick preached to you, and Brother Hart preached, and Brother Flowers preached, and
All we preached was the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. After a while, we'd probably all find somewhere else to go to church. We got the good news. We've heard that. We figured that out. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. We did that like 20 years ago. You must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Spirit every day. That message isn't for you and I. We received that message. We welcomed it wholeheartedly, and we allowed it to be applied to our lives. Now our responsibility is to go share that message with somebody else. We got to preach to somebody else. When we gather together like this, some days the Holy Ghost leads us to preach and proclaim the gospel. Some days there's people sitting in here that have not heard the gospel. And the Holy Ghost will lead a speaker to preach and proclaim the good news of the new birth experience. But the majority of the time when we gather together, we're teaching. We admonish. We minister one to another. We pray one for another. We bear one another's burdens like we talked about last Wednesday night. There's the ministry of an apostle that's in operation among us at times. There's a gift of prophecy that comes into operation. There's a gift of healing that begins to operate among us. There's a gift of faith that begins to operate, maybe through the taught word of God. Maybe there's a proclamation that goes forth. Sometimes wisdom. I receive wisdom by the teaching of the word of God. There's something that's imparted to me that's wise. And I think, I need that. That helps me. Sometimes there's a word of knowledge. Sometimes there's a prophetic word that's spoken into somebody's life. Here's the thought for you. What would happen if you went on your job tomorrow and just started prophesying to everybody? Now, if the Holy Ghost leads you to do it, you better do it. But I'm talking about walking in, I've come with a prophetic word today. We are going to sell windows. You are out of your mind, bro. Of course we're going to sell windows. That's what we do for a living. This is Champion Windows. The prophetic makes sense to us. We're used to the prophetic. If somebody came in and said, I feel a prophetic word from the Lord. Hello. Talk to me. I want to hear it. Share it. My coworkers, if I walked in and said I had a prophetic word, they would probably throw me out a second story window and let me land on my head. But I could go into that same group of coworkers and I could probably ask, have you ever heard of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? No, what's that? Have you ever been baptized? Well, I was baptized one time when I was a kid. See the difference? One's preaching, one's prophesying. Both have their place. Let's stand together tonight. Everybody's a preacher. Everybody's a proclaimer. I know many of us proclaim all the time. I hear your testimonies of you sharing with people. Don't stop. And then when you gather in among the people of God, let the giftings of God be in operation through your life. Sometimes we will call on. I'll use Sunday as an example. Bishop called for those who were sick. He called on Brother Lindsay. Brother Lindsay, I want you to come pray.
lay hands on these. He was asking him to allow the gift of healing to operate through his life. See how simple that is? It wasn't complicated. If you get asked, hey, I want you to take a few minutes and maybe talk to the youth, or would you take a few minutes on a Wednesday night and share with us what you feel like the Lord's? What's the ask? The ask is, let the gifting of a teacher operate through your life. If you get called on, hey, I want you to testify tonight. You just got asked to preach. Come up here and proclaim the goodness of God. Or maybe Paul talked about gifts of helps. You know, we really need some assistance in the Sunday school classes. All we're saying is, would you allow the gifting of helps that's in operation, or that is resident in you, to be in operation in the body of Christ? We complicate this. We spiritualize it to this place. We're like, oh, is the gifting in me? And we're not sure to step out in faith. Well, you know, I think I feel a word for somebody, because, you know, that's what our operation's around, feeling a word for somebody, going to preach, going to sing. And maybe it's as simple as stepping to the front when called upon to lay hands upon somebody and allow the gift of faith and the gift of healing to be an operation through you. It's that easy. Half of it's being willing and able. Let's pray together right now. Father, let your understanding prevail tonight in this room, in each of the vessels in this room that have heard your word tonight. Father, let the giftings of God be in operation through every individual here. And Father, let us preach and proclaim. Let us herald your goodness everywhere that we go, every person that we come in contact with. Father, let us share with them your goodness. All of us, Father, have a personal testimony of your goodness. I pray that you would give us the boldness. Give us boldness to proclaim. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I pray, let the gift of faith be stirred in each one of us tonight. In the name of Jesus, faith to step out and allow the operation of God, the operation of the giftings of God in our lives and in your kingdom, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight.